of them to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and a song that makes that repeating and memorizing that verse easy. Would you open your Bible with me, please, to James chapter 1, not our text, but a verse of Scripture, passage of Scripture we want to read in just a few minutes. James chapter 1. Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. We need you. Father, we need you to speak to our hearts and teach us and make us aware of things that will help us. Help us to be encouraged in the things of the Lord tonight. And Father, may our focus be on Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We need to remember and be reminded that everything in the Christian life is about Jesus Christ. And I understand there are lots of issues in life. We have problems and concerns. We do have responsibilities. We do have business matters that need our attention. And we certainly do have spiritual and moral struggles. But ultimately, it's about Christ and his priority in our life. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And where does he stand with us? Be aware that we can know a lot of things, but not necessarily do them. And that's what James 1 is about. Verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the Bible speaks here and uses the illustration of somebody who looks in a mirror and sees what a mess they are, but they don't want to think about it. They don't want to deal with it. So they just walk out of the bathroom or wherever and go on about their business. God says, when the Lord shows you something about yourself, deal with it. Do something about it. And don't just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. In other words, the Lord wants to have a real and active part in your life, and he deserves that. And I want us to consider this evening faith and the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll find our text tonight, Ephesians chapter 3, and I'd like for us to read from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. We'll be talking about these specific things as we think about faith and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's really at the center of it. You know, I've said many times that everything in the Christian life revolves around faith. Faith in what? Well, faith in God's word, faith in the person of the Lord. It's about Jesus Christ himself, and not because you use his name as a, you know, as an expletive, and not because you just claim to know him, but he actually is real to you, and you give him priority in your life, and you want to honor and serve him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, world without, without, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's read verse 21 again. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And the Bible points out a number of things here that I want us to consider briefly this evening as we talk about faith and the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people claim to be Christians, but they never give a thought to what the Lord may be wanting in their life, what the Lord may be desiring for them. And this passage of Scripture points out that God has a whole lot of things in mind, and God the Son of God, who Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, and we'll examine that carefully in the adult Bible class on Sunday morning. I was working on that lesson just today as we get to the end of the book of the Revelation and the day of the Lord, and we'll consider the fact that Jesus is God again in that portion of Scripture. But in this passage, we see that everything is about Jesus Christ. And the first thing that I notice here is a humble submission. Verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." God often goes to great lengths and extreme measures to humble us. He does. And here is the writer of this book, the Apostle Paul, saying, I'm willing to bow my knee before the Lord. And this is compellingly important to God, that we truly humble ourselves. Do you know that pride is always a lie? Pride in self, and I think it runs much deeper than what we would like to acknowledge or admit that it does. Pride is always a lie, and the word pride and proud occur in the Bible just under 100 times, and God hates pride because it robs him of his glory. When I'm exercising pride, I'm claiming glory for myself. Look what I did. Look what I've accomplished. And many times pride will cause us not to submit to the Lord and not allow him to have his way in our life, because we want it our way. We want it the way we want it to be. And that's just pride. And the Lord is not honored by pride like that. He desires that we humbly submit to him. Pride says it's somebody else. It's not me. It's somebody else who's at fault, not me. But true humility says it's me, not someone else. I'm the problem, not somebody else being the problem. And the old spiritual says, it's me, O Lord, stand in need of prayer. It's me, I'm the problem. I'm the one who has the issue. It's not somebody else that I can point my finger at and blame. It's me, I'm the problem. And sometimes, in fact, often pride needs to be identified in our life, and we need to humble ourselves. The Apostle Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I confess that I'm often trying to lift myself up instead of submitting to him. I'm often guilty of pride, and I just need to bow my knees before the Lord. I need to humble myself before him." And heaven, a humble submission is very important. Look at James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1. This is just a short verse, but it's a powerful verse of Scripture that says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We somehow have, in our culture, been persuaded that it's a good thing to elevate yourself and boast about yourself. That's a good thing for you, and you need to put yourself first. Jesus said, no, you need to put yourself last. God should be first, and others should be second, and you should be last. And when we're exalting ourselves in pride, we're so inclined to put ourselves in the lead position, and that's contrary to God's word, of course. And if we're truly people of faith who live by faith, it will be to humble ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ. He stated in John 15, "Without me, ye can do nothing." We just read in James 1:17, "Every good thing that you have comes from God." And what right do you or I have to boast about that as though we produced it ourselves? "Without me ye can do nothing," Christ said in John 15:5. You can't accomplish a single thing apart from me. I'm the one who enables you. And somebody talks about being a self-made man. We've talked about this before. Well, who gave you the brains to be able to invent that that particular device? Who gave you the health to be able to get out and work and earn a living? Who gave you the skill to be able to get ahead in your field? Well, all those things are from the Lord, ultimately. And how can we say, I did this, I accomplished this, I did this myself? You wouldn't even live another minute unless God gave you air to breathe, and I wouldn't either. If God didn't keep our heart beating, we'd be out of here like that. We'd be gone. Everything that we have, we owe to Him, and humility is the right perspective for us, humble submission. And our faith should, first of all, cause us to be humble. In Ephesians chapter 3, again, we see the next thing in verse 16 and then in verse 20 about this passage of Scripture that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And then verse 20 says, now in Him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. We need to realize that we have access to heavenly strength. We're not left to our own resources. Isn't that a blessing? And people who don't know Christ are operating under their own resources, under their own strength, under their own energies. And most of the time, that's very inadequate, sorely inadequate. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough smarts. We don't have enough wisdom. We don't have enough foresight to get us safely through this life. And what a blessing it is that we can rely upon heavenly strength. Does the Lord care whether we have the strength to serve Him or not? Of course He cares. And does He have the strength that we need to be able to keep on and serve Him acceptably? Of course He does. He has that much strength, and He cares whether we have, and we can access that daily. And our prayer should be, Lord, help me to do what I ought to do in Your strength for Your glory today. Once again, verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And if somebody says, I just don't have enough strength to consistently do the right thing, to be what God wants me to be, ask the Lord, appeal to the Lord for the strength that you need to be the kind of believer, the kind of Christian that He would have you to be, and He'll give it to you. He has plenty of strength. He's not ever lacking. He has the strength that we need, and He cares whether we have strength to serve Him or not. And so appeal to the Lord. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we're going to look at that verse again in just a couple minutes. But notice in verse 17 and 18 what I've called a holy sentiment. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. This is quite a recitation. We see the Father wants us to be able to understand things, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and depth and breadth and height, that you'd be able to plumb the depths of the love of God. His indwelling is full and complete, and this is the only way Christ can dwell in our hearts is by faith. He only can indwell us by faith. He needs for us. And you say, does God need something? Well, He wants to be able to bless people. He wants to be able to use people. But the only way He can do that is if we'll trust Him, if we'll invest ourselves in Him and believe Him and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there, and what a glorious thought that is. If you're God's child, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you're not alone, and Christ lives in you. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He wasn't alone. The Lord was there. And he said, I've trusted him and I've committed my life to him, and now he lives in me and through me, and he will enable me to be what he wants me to be. This is what we could call a holy sentiment. Go back a little bit to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 26. Here in John 11, 26, Jesus Christ said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Notice he's talking about living and believing in him. And it's important that we believe the right things, that we invest ourselves in faith and do what he's commanded us to do. And beyond that, we see in this same passage of Scripture that God wants us to comprehend it. He says, so we can see, so we can understand the breadth and length and depth and height. His indwelling is full and complete. How much does he wish to inhabit and control? How much of us does he want to control? Well, he wants to control all of us. He wants to be in charge. And that's his right. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, that we've been created, and we're not our own, we're bought with a price. If you're a saved person, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God owns you. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 1, God said, all souls are mine. All souls are mine. Everybody that he's created, he owns. He claims ownership over. And so we belong to him, and we ought to be willing for him to control our life and inhabit us. Look at John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 14. Here in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, a very familiar verse. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is identifying who the Word was, who was also the Creator. Verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and that's the Word based on verse 1. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Verse 15 says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, the fullness of the Lord. The ability to be what he wants us to be, and understanding the breadth of things, the depth of things, the height of things. What's life all about? You've heard me say it before. One of the greatest things in life is having a purpose, knowing why I'm here. And a lot of people don't value life because they have no idea why they're here, and they've rejected God's answer. But God's the only one who can really give us a good answer. He's the one who placed us here. He's the one who created us. And so he knows what we're here for. It's so important to have a purpose in life. And that's one of the things that we can understand, that the Lord wants us to do, that the Lord has for us, and the reason why we're here. Christ dwells in your hearts by faith, and you're able to understand things by faith. And he wishes to inhabit and control his people. Notice back in Ephesians chapter 3 again. Ephesians chapter 3, we see verse 19. A happy stability. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The love of Christ becomes the stability of the Christian life. Knowing him brings that stability, and he ought to be dwelling in our heart by faith. It is said that a dying veteran in Napoleon's army who had been mortally wounded was undergoing some treatment in his dying moments from the surgeon who was probing for the bullet. And he said, dig a little deeper and you'll find the emperor. and what he was trying to say was in the core of his being, he was so devoted to Napoleon that he felt that that's where Napoleon would be found, in the very core of his being. He was so devoted. And may God's people be so devoted to Christ that we understand him and we become infilled with God, because God is love. Christ fills our heart, and the heart begins to understand love, and love is the medium through which we become filled with God. The fullness, he says, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Bible says that God is love. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We've been talking about faith for many Wednesday nights in a row here, and we've talked about faith and waiting. We've talked about faith and on again, off again faith. We've talked about a number of different issues, and faith does have lapses, but faith ought to be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just believing things, but connecting with him and walking with the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you one another with in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." He states a lot of things, but notice verse 11, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all, and the fullness of God is what we're talking about here, and Christ dwelling in us, and Christ being everything. And everything in the Christian life is about the Lord Jesus Christ and putting our confidence and our trust in him and surrendering to him. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Those words have more importance to us than we imagine. The Apostle Paul's salvation prayer, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want from me? How do you want me to live?" It's about you. It's all about you. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice back in Ephesians chapter 3 again, verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And we've looked at verse 20 briefly, but I want us to look at it again, because it represents high sovereignty. "Unto him that's able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and that Christ would be glorified in his church." I think this is interesting. He says in verse 20, "Unto him that's able to exceeding abundantly above," and this is almost, it's almost needlessly repetitious. Exceeding abundantly above. I was looking at the Greek reading of this passage of scripture, and the preposition or adjective that we would translate hyper occurs twice in that description. Exceeding abundantly above, hyper, it's almost redundant. Twice this adjective appears in the text, and this power can work in us. This is the power of God at work in the life of a child of God. "Christ will be glorified in his church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus." And if we would contribute to this kind of singularity, we need to humble ourselves before him and agree to unity in the church. so that he can be glorified in that church. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is all. He is the sovereign. And remember again, verse 20, unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This is not just a nebulous, random, arbitrary power that flows around. You know, this is not like the Star Trek force, the force, you know, the force. May the force be with you. This is God's power that's available to the child of God. The power that worketh in us. This is a very specific and a very focused power. And God wants to enable his people to be a testimony in our world and to show those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ that there's something better in life than just living for yourself, than just living for pleasure, than just living marginally. And faith in the Lord should be that very thing, should be faith in Jesus Christ, and should glorify and exalt and lift him up so that people can see there's a difference. There's a difference in me. There's a difference in you. And all these things that we've read about Christ and what he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and the stability and the strength that comes along with acknowledging Christ and being submissive to him is so very essential in the life of a child of God. Our faith is about, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And may he be glorified and lifted up and exalted in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us, and we need to see Christ. Father, we need to see